Well, good morning. As Pastor said, there's no day like Mother's Day. My wife and I were talking about that on the way out here. On Mother's Day, mothers get taken out for lunch, and they get to go for dinner. And on Father's Day, it's usually grilling out, and I'm cooking. Now, mothers have a better union than we do. That's just it. And even in church, you go and Mother's Day messages are, oh, mothers, you are wonderful, you are wonderful, we love you, we love you, we love you. And you are blessed. And you are. On Father's Day, it's, guys, what is wrong with you? This is the kind of guy you should be. So I don't know what, again, it's a union thing, I'm sure. And we don't have a very good one. When Pastor Davis asked me to speak this morning for Mother's Day, he didn't ask me this morning. He asked me about a month ago. Excuse me. He asked for a message, but he also asked for an update on God. And I thought, how am I going to do both? So we're going to be here till about 2 today. No. But I began to wonder which I should emphasize. Should I emphasize, which one should I emphasize? Which one should I let slide? Should I focus more on Ghana? Should I focus more on Mother's Day? And I think God brought something to mind that's going to allow me to accomplish both and hopefully make sense at the same time. So we're going to give that a shot this morning. He did this while I was writing the May newsletter. And I was looking at the prayer request, and suddenly a creative or crazy, you get to decide by the end of the message this morning. Anyway, a creative or crazy thought came to mind. Why not let the things we're asking God to accomplish through WAM in 2023 provide an outline, not only as a WAM update, but also for this Mother's Day message? So that's what I'm hoping to do this morning. And we're looking at 3 major prayer requests. If you've read the newsletter that has come out, well, it's been coming out every month. And if you've been reading them this month, you already have an idea of what our outline is going to be. Because I have a section on the front page of the newsletter that is devoted just to our prayer requests for 2023. We have 4 major prayer requests for 2023. And we're going to look at 3 of them this morning. The first one has to do with the fact that we need in Ghana a house mother. We have a second children's home. That's part of the update. And it's fully finished. All the electrical, all the plumbing, it's ready to be occupied. And we had a house mother that we were looking forward to seeing start ministry in January. But over the Christmas holidays, she became ill with COVID, and she's really, to this day, hasn't recovered fully from all of the complications from that. And so it looks like that particular person won't be coming to visit home very soon. So we're still praying. We're asking God for a house mother, and I put in parentheses on your outline if you're looking at that this morning, and a father. I still would love to see another couple come to our ministry in Ghana and provide not only a mother but a father for the children under their care. Now, in this particular case, it's not nearly as important as it was for us to have William and Priscilla Deku, a mother and father, initially, the workers that we have with us now, because what's going to be happening as we open the second home is we're going to be splitting the girls off into one home, and the boys will be staying in the other home. William and Priscilla are going to be moving with the boys, and the girls will stay in the home that they're currently in, and that's where we're going to have a new set of parents, or at least a house mom. I say it's not as important because those girls will have a mother in their life, and William will still be on the property, on the premises, to provide some direction as a father. And we do think it's more important that those little boys grow up in a home that has a father figure to watch and observe and But we would really like to see God provide a couple, because girls too need to see that. They need to see what a husband should be like, what they should be looking for in a husband. So that's our prayer request for WAM as we continue. We've got the home. It's ready to be used, and it's sitting there empty, and it's driving me crazy to see that house just sit there empty. And so we're praying that God will raise up people to occupy that place. At the very least, a house mother. And I've got some examples listed on your sheet this morning. Three moms that exemplify the kind of person we're looking for in Ghana. But it's also a good reminder of the kind of parents, mothers particularly this morning, that God desires for us to be. And for many of us, we can be thankful that we have had. The first one on our list is Eunice. And I put in parentheses Lois as well, because in a moment you'll see why. The passage I'm thinking about when I think about Eunice and Lois is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And Paul writes this to Timothy: "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well." You see, our goal in Ghana, we actually have two, okay? We have many goals, but the top two for the children's home, the penultimate goal, if you want to use a big, you know, $25 word, it's probably worth more than $25 these days. $25 was what they used to say when I was a kid, using those $25, probably $250 with inflation. But anyway, the penultimate goal, or the second from the top goal, of course, is to ease the earthly lives of the children in our care. And we dearly want to do that. These kids come to us with all kinds of special needs, and we want to ease their life here on earth. But our ultimate goal is to ensure the eternal lives of those children. And that's why we're looking for somebody like a Eunice and Lois. Paul commends Eunice and Lois because Timothy had a great gift from the Lord in having a mother that knew the Lord and a grandmother that knew the Lord. And they gave themselves to ensure that Timothy would come to know the Lord. We're looking for the same thing as we look for a house mom in Ghana. We're looking for a woman, and again, we would love it to be a couple, who love the Lord, who can model that in front of these children, and who can teach these children the gospel. These children come to us with special needs, physical needs, but they also come to us with a deep spiritual need, the same need that we all have. We're all sinners. They're all sinners, even those little cute little kids. And I can take you to our children's home and show you on particular days just how sinner children can be, because sometimes they do act out a little bit. But generally speaking, God has blessed us with kids who are just wonderful little kids, but they're still sinners. They were still born with a sin nature, which is going to ultimately, if something isn't done to fix that, separate them from God forever. And we want, and we're praying that God will bring us house parents that will help these children come to understand just how much God loves them and what He's done to provide for their salvation, that He sent Jesus to earth to die on the cross, to pay for their sins, so that they don't have to worry about that part of it anymore. So that once this earthly life is over, no matter what God has for them during this earthly life, eternity is waiting for them. Heaven is waiting for them. That's what we're praying for these little kids, that they will enjoy heaven, that they'll these little bodies that they have been living in while they're here on earth, and all the different illnesses and abnormalities, if I can use that term, that they struggle with, they're going to be taken care of. And they can live forever, free from all of that in the presence of Jesus. So we're looking for a Eunice and a Lois kind of person who will first and foremost preach the gospel, teach the gospel to his little ones. We praise God for William and Priscilla Dacre, the workers that we have now. Because if they have a spiritual gift, and I know they do, it's evangelism in both of them. And they just can't keep their mouth shut with the gospel. And that's a marvelous, wonderful thing. Not only do they share the gospel with the kids that are in our children's home, but Priscilla regularly invites kids from the neighborhood in and does like a little Sunday school class for the whole neighborhood. They're doing a marvelous job at ensuring that kids in our care and in our community are hearing the gospel on a regular basis. We praise the Lord for that. The second mother that is on our list this morning is Hannah. Hannah, of course, is the mother of Samuel. And I'm using just as a quick text this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, to show you what it is about Hannah that we would love to see emulated in the house parents that God sends to us. It says in 1 Samuel 1, 27 and 28, "For this boy I pray, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." Two things in those two little verses show something about the character of Hannah that we would love to see emulated in the house mother and father that we are asking the Lord to provide. The first is this: they pray. Hannah prayed. She was a woman of prayer. And she not only prayed for Samuel for that the Lord would give her a son, but then she continued to pray for Samuel throughout his life. Because she knew something that a lot of us, I think, oftentimes forget. And I say us because I'm included in that. We can't raise kids. There is nothing that I can do to make sure that my children obey me. I've told this to my adult children. Every child at some point in time comes to the age where they understand something that we as parents don't want them to ever know. And that is, we can't make them do anything. Now, we can make it unpleasant for them if they don't. And we should make it unpleasant for them if they don't. But the bottom line is, we can't make them do anything. And that's why praying for our kids is so vitally important. We need to be praying, and we want to see in Ghana, we want to see a house mom and dad who are praying for these kids, but also then turning around and dedicating them back to the Lord. We practice in our evangelical circles, not baby baptism, like our Reformed brothers and sisters do, or like Catholic churches do, but we do practice something called baby dedication, where we are in effect coming back to the Lord with our children and saying, "God, you have given this child to me. I am returning this child to you. Whatever you want for this child in his life, that's your call. We simply want to be here useful to you to help you to accomplish in this child's life what you have chosen for that particular child." That's what Hannah did for Samuel. And then she turned around and brought him. And don't do this to your pastor, okay? Once you have kids and you've dedicated them to the Lord, you don't get to bring them back to church and leave them here. Okay, that's what Hannah did, though. Hannah brought Samuel back to Eli and said, "Okay, I've dedicated him to the Lord. Now he's yours." And she's back home just living the easy life. Not true. But she did dedicate him to the Lord, and God made it obvious to her that Samuel had been chosen to be a priest. And so it was the right thing in her case to bring that child back to Eli and say, Eli, God has given him to me. Now I am returning to him, him to them, to you. I am returning him, to the Lord. That's the kind of attitude we're looking for as we pray that God would raise up a house mom and house dad. People that understand that these children are a gift from the Lord, but they're also still the Lord's. When we first approached Pastor William and Priscilla to be our first set of house parents in Ghana, it was an amazing thing. I thought, okay, we'll ask them and then we're going to give them some time to pray and think this through. And so we sat down with William and Priscilla and asked them if they would consider being the house parents for West African Mercy Ministries and for House of Mercy. And instantly, Priscilla began to cry. And we didn't understand what was going on. And, you know, I don't like to see women cry. I don't know what to do with that all the time. But she quickly explained, I have been praying for years that God would make me a mother. She has been unable to bear children herself. And she was praying and has been praying for 10 years of their marriage, or the 10 years that they were married, that God would allow her to be a mother. And she said, today God has answered my prayer. I don't need time to think about this. This is what God wants us to do. Wonderful thing. But she also has the attitude, not only just that she values these kids, but she understands that these children are God's children. And she's doing everything in her power, and so is William, to raise these children and return these children to the Lord forever for whatever he wants to use them for. And we thank the Lord for them, and we're asking God to replicate that as he prepares a second set of parents for us. And I would also advocate that to all of us who are parents, and again, particularly mothers here this morning, but not exclusively. We need to be praying for our kids, and then we need to return our kids back to the Lord, giving him the full right. I don't know how many times I have heard, and it breaks my heart every time I hear it, Christian parents will say, I hope God never calls my children into ministry or to be a missionary. That would be just a, and I'm thinking, oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Our attitude should be, Lord, whatever you want to use them for, they are yours. Thirdly, is the third name on our list this morning is Jochebed, who is Moses' mother, Moses' birth mother. She's not named in the passage that we'll be looking at this morning, the three verses in Exodus chapter 2. She is, however, named in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, and Numbers chapter 29, verse 59, if you want to know how I know what her actual name is. But in Exodus 2, verses 1 through 3, we read these words, and they're very familiar to us. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. You remember the story? The Israelites were living in Egypt, and they were no longer living there as guests. They were now slaves of the Egyptians. And the Pharaoh, a Pharaoh arose that didn't remember Joseph and the Israelites and how they were beneficial to the Egyptians. He became very concerned, worried, envious, I guess if you would, of the Israelites. And so he made a law that all the baby boys that were born to the Israelites should be killed. And only the girls should be left alive. Well, Moses' mother didn't like that so well. And so she made a basket and ultimately put him in the river, the Nile River, to protect him. And the story continues on, of course, and that girl's daughter was down bathing in the river and found this basket, found Moses, And ultimately, Moses became, and we'll get more to that in just a moment. Moses became her adopted child. But what I see in this passage about Jochebed is two things. She truly put her child's best interests first. Debbie and I are adoptive parents. We've adopted three children. We have two children that Debbie gave birth to, twins that are now 40 years old. I have kids that are 40. That's just wrong. How did they get older than me? But we learned something through the adoption process about a mother's heart as we watched mothers make decisions. And we also did a lot of foster care with evangelical child and family agents. And we saw time and again where a mother came to the point where she understood, I can't keep this child. I can't, for whatever reason. Oftentimes it was because she was a minor and didn't have the means to take care of a child. But bringing that person to the point where they understood that the child's interests have to come first. That's what Jochebed did. That is what we're looking for as we're praying for God to provide parents for our children. People that will put the best interest of those children first, especially in a country like Ghana, where this it's just not done. Everybody talks about putting the child's interests first in Ghana, even at the level of the Department of Social Welfare, but it's just not done. And so we're looking for God to raise up a couple who are different. A couple like he has already provided for us through William and Priscilla, who are very much like that. And then she truly entrusted her child, Jochebed did, to the Lord. There was nothing more she could do. That child was either going to die or something unusual had to happen. A miracle had to happen. And that's what God provided. As this woman put the interests of her child first, and then entrusted him back to the Lord. And again, it's a great model for us, but it also provides for you and I, but it also provides a great example of what we're praying for as we continue to look for God to provide that couple. So the first mother on your list is, you can fill in, you can is house mothers. Or house mother. We're only looking for one right now. Our goal ultimately is to build two more homes, so we will have four, so we'll be needing some more. So if you want to pray for the future as well, that's fine. The second thing we need in Ghana is adoptive mothers. A great thing has happened in Ghana in that they have opened the doors for international adoption again. It had been closed for 5 years, and we were very concerned about that because part of our ministry was providing long-term care for these kids, many of which will always need some help. Again, we get special needs kids. Some of these kids will never be able to live on their own. And so we were able to find, the Lord provided, adoptive parents for us. And we've got a number of kids here in the States that were adopted by people who were willing to say, we'll do that. We will put that child, we will add that child to our family, no matter what the cost is. We're looking for those kinds of people, adoptive parents, because we still have children in our care. There's two being adopted right now. You can be praying for them. Their names, I'll give you their real names. The ones in the newsletter are fake ones because we have to protect the identity of the children and anything that might go out on social media. But Amma and Faith are currently in the adoption process. We're very thankful for that. They're able to go together. These two little girls are best of friends, and So they're going to have a sister that they already know in this adoptive family. And so just be praying that, Ghana will speed the process along. It's already been 18 months? Okay. 18 months that these parents have been working on this adoption. And in fact, the reason they're taking two is because it took so long that the second set of adoptive parents that were going to take Amma backed out. And so her adoption was canceled. And this couple said, no, no, we'll take them both. And so the process is going along. But Ghana likes to drag their feet a lot. And so we're just praying that those adoptions will be finalized soon. There's two other children in particular, if you want some names to pray for. James and Abana have been with us the longest. I think they would have been adopted 5-6 years ago had Ghana not closed the doors on adoption. But because of that, they are now 11 years old. Delightful, delightful kids. Wonderful kids. And we're just praying that God would bring a family for each of those two. Or if he wants to bring one family for both, that would be fine as well. But we're looking for adoptive parents. The name that you see on your sheet is Bithya. Bithya or Bitya. It's the closest thing we can come to in affixing a name for this person out of, 1 Chronicles chapter 4:18. But this is what, historians believe the name of Moses' birth mother or adoptive mother was. Did you know that there's only one example of an adoptive parent in Scripture, other than God being our adopted father? And Joseph, I guess you could say, he adopted Jesus because he wasn't his biological father. But as far as a mother is concerned, this is the only one I can find in Scripture. 1 Chronicles, again, tells us her name, his wife. It says in 1 Chronicles 4:18, from the tribe of Judah gave birth to Jared, the father of Gedar, Heber, the father of Soko, and Jekuthiel, the father, I love these names, don't you? Zenoah. These were the children of Pharaoh's daughter, Bithya, whom Merod had married. And that, they believe, is referring to this woman. Jewish historians believe that she became a proselyte to the Jewish faith, but we have no biblical proof for that. Whether a believer or not, Exodus chapter 2, verses 9 to 10 shares with us that Pharaoh's daughter said to Moses' sister Miriam, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. It's just interesting to me that Moses' mother got paid for taking care of Moses as a child. Somebody's got a better union than we got. Debbie and I never got paid for taking care of our own kids. It just didn't happen. But in this case, we see that this mother, this woman, adopted her, and after allowing the birth mom to basically wet nurse her, or wet nurse him, she then took Moses into her home, and it says, and he became her son. That's a very, very important phrase as we think about Ghana and adoptive parents, because we're looking for God to open, and he has doors for international adoption. Those were doors that were locked from the outside. The government said you can't do this. But we're also looking for God to open up doors for national adoptions within Ghana. Those are doors that are historically locked from the inside, because Ghana, they just don't view adoption like we do. That paradigm just doesn't exist in their thinking. If in Ghana, if you adopt, you're basically doing the Cinderella thing. You're bringing somebody into your home to do the house chores. and she's going to live up in the attic or whatever. And while your kids go off to school, she might get to go to the public school, maybe. But probably he or she's going to stay home and just do house chores and she and their house help. We're looking for people who, like this woman who adopted Moses, will bring that child into their home and allow that child to become their son or daughter. And that's a big, big thing we need prayer for as we're looking for adoptive parents, especially adoptive parents within Ghana. We're looking for people who are saying, this child will become our child just like any of our other children. When Debbie and I adopted our three children, we had to stand before a judge, and the judge asked us some pointed questions, all focused on the fact, are you ready to allow this child to be the same as your birth children? And that's the thing that doesn't happen in Ghana. But that's the thing we want to see happen in Ghana for two reasons. First of all, for the child's sake, but secondly, so that Ghanaians can understand what our being adopted by God is all about. God didn't adopt me to be house help. I'm not good enough. You don't want me cleaning your house in heaven. Ask my wife. You don't want me cleaning your house. Your bed will never be made. I will not pick up your socks. If I don't pick up mine, I'm not picking yours up. Okay? I'm not good enough to be house help. God adopted me to be a full heir with Jesus Christ. I am his sibling. I am just as much a son as Jesus is. Let that sink in. You're just as much a son or a daughter to God as Jesus is. That's how much he loves you. That's the kind of parent we're looking for in God. We need to see that kind of heart in the adoptive parents. Naomi, I did put down there because that's the closest thing I could come to finding another woman who had that kind of heart. Technically, she didn't adopt Ruth, but Naomi lived and loved in such a way before Ruth. Ruth was living with her in her home. And Naomi lived and loved in such a way that Ruth said these words in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Don't urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where will you? For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And here's the most important part. And your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything, but death parts me from you. We're looking for that kind of heart in adoptive parents, who will live in such a way and love the kids that they adopt in such a way that those children turn around and have that attitude. I want your God to be my God. I want to remain a part of this family. Finally, so adoptive mothers is the second line. The third one is we need church mothers. And what I mean by church mothers is this. We need, we talk about church planting here in the U.S., and we always call those churches daughter churches. Well, that means there's got to be a parent church, a mother church, and we're looking for those in Ghana. That's why I put Paul's name down there. Debbie hadn't seen the outline until this morning. She said, Paul's a mother? Well, let me read these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. We were gentle among you, Paul said to the Thessalonian church, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. That's what we're looking for in Ghana, because a third aspect of our ministry in Ghana, not only taking care of kids and finding permanent homes for kids, but we're looking to plant churches in Ghana, churches that have that same kind of mentality of mercy. There's a church down in Hamilton, Virginia. It's Hamilton Baptist Church, and they will serve as a good model of what I mean when I'm saying we're looking for church mothers. Hamilton Baptist Church came to us and said, we want to plant a church in Ghana. Can you find us a pastor? We'll pay his salary, and we'll pay to to get this church up and running in Ghana, but we want to be involved in church planning in Ghana. And so we did that. And Hamilton Baptist Church has been the sponsoring church for Hope Community Baptist Church. I always mess their name up. Hope Community Baptist Church in Ensuang. They're the church mom. Now this church in Ensuang wants to plant another church in Pakro, a little town just north and a little bit east of where they are, because it's a community. It's more out in the bush. Ensuang is more of a city. This would be more of a village. And there's no evangelical work in the area. And so they have targeted this particular community. They want to plant a church. And so what we're praying is that God would raise up another mother church who would, or maybe it's a group of mother churches, that say, we want to sponsor a church plant. We want to help that church realize their goal of seeing churches all across that area, in areas that don't have churches currently, don't have an evangelical message. It's the same kind of ministry Paul was involved in, Acts chapter 13. Now there were in verses 1 through 3. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Later in chapter 14 of Acts, verses 21 to 23, it kind of shows what their ministry was. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So Paul and Barnabas went out, did evangelism, and as they evangelized, they started churches, even to the point where they appointed elders, so that those churches were self-governing, independent, what we call in Ghana, mercy centers in their community. Because that's what we're looking for. Centers for mercy to be extended. We are West African Mercy Ministry. We believe strongly in the power of showing God's mercy to people that don't know Him. And that's why we want to see that kind of ministry happening again. Not only extending mercy as far as helping to care for people in need, but also, of course, evangelistic mercy. That's what Paul and Barnabas were all about. In Lydda, they met, there was a woman who was bedridden for 8 years, who was bedridden for 8 years. He was paralyzed. Peter came along, and they raised that man up to health. They extended mercy to him. And immediately he arose, and then it says, all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. See, as we extend God's mercy, people notice. And as they notice, then they respond to who God is. And that's the point. We don't want them coming away saying, oh, aren't Paul and Anna Adeen wonderful? Or isn't Hope Community Baptist Church wonderful? We want them to say, isn't God wonderful? We saw this in Ensuam. I shared this story with you in the past. We want to see it again. Paul and Anne are reaching out to a girl that they found in the open market. She was living in the market, just sleeping on the tables in one of the stalls. And they got in conversation with her and introduced her to Christ. She became ill. So Paul and Anna, the pastor and his wife of this little church, took her to the hospital, got her treated, brought her back to her family's home. Her family, her father, was a local fetish priest. He was a witch doctor. But she needed to stay with somebody while she was recovering. So they brought her home, but Paul and Anna went and visited her every day to make sure she had everything she needed. They would bring her food, bring her stuff. Finally, one day, this witch doctor cornered Paul and very gruffly asked him, "Why are you doing this for my daughter?" And to Paul, that translated into, "Please share the gospel with me," because that's what he did. 3 months later, he baptized that entire family. Because they took the love of Christ and extended it to one little girl, and it was noticed. And God was glorified in that process. We want to see this happen again and again and again and again, and that's why we're looking for church mothers, or mother churches, if you will. Maybe I stretched things a little bit this morning. I don't know. I hope the connection is there for you. I hope you can see that we need to be praying for Ghana. And these are the three major areas of ministry that we're really hoping to focus on. But also in the lives of these mothers, I hope that we can see either challenges to us as mothers, grandmothers, fathers, grandfathers, what kind of parenting we should be involved in, what we should be doing for our children, our grandchildren, what it looks like to be a godly set of parents. These are the kinds of moms we need for the children in Ghana and for planting churches in Ghana. They're also the kind of mothers and fathers, I would also say, that our children and grandchildren need. I pray that the Lord would make us those kinds of people. Father, we want to be godly. I have, like Timothy, a heritage where I can't think back far enough in history to find ancestors of mine that were not believers in Jesus Christ. That is something you gave me as a gift. I remember when I was younger, I kind of always regretted that I didn't have one of those stories where I was a drug addict and God saved me from this, one of those kind of testimonies. I always kind of admired that in people. But instead, Lord, I had a history. I have a testimony of things that you saved me from. I didn't have to experience those things. And you had parents in my life and grandparents in my life who encouraged me. And I remember growing up in church, and all of my relatives attended that same church. All of them. And God, I thank you for that. I pray that you'd help us to be those kinds of parents for our kids and grandkids. That we would do whatever we can to encourage them in their walk with you. Lord, I pray the same thing for Ghana. We need those kinds of parents, not only as house parents, but as adoptive parents, and to see churches planted. We need parent churches who are concerned for a community and will do what it takes to make sure the gospel is shared. Father, that's the point of all of this. The gospel needs to go out, and you need to be glorified in this. People don't need to be drawn to us. People don't need to be drawn to West African Mercy Ministries or to Grace Bible Church in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. They need to be drawn to Jesus Christ. So in all of this, we pray that you would be glorified as we are able to model to a watching world the kind of people you would have us to be. We pray these things in your name.